All right. Well, we're coming to you live on stereo. Dr. Drew, my old pal, is our guest. Drew, you hear me?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I do. We're just getting some adjustments in here. So we'll be taking some questions and some comments, and you guys can get in on the app, and we'll answer those.
Hey, I got to tell you, it's positively bizarre seeing this emoji talk to me. It's really
a
weird thing.
Yeah. It's my emoji. Oh wait, that's Drew's emoji.
Yeah, I'm the one talking to you.
I think they changed your frames a little bit. All right, Drew, what are you thinking about in life?
Well, I'm looking at these messages that are coming in. It says tap to play them. Should we play them as they come in?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of...
Wait a minute. No, Dawson says no. We'll play them.
No, okay.
We'll play them from
all
here.
Right.
But,
All right. So in my life, I am right now looking at the data, the COVID data, right? You and I talked about this a bit on our Adam and Drew podcast. And I just want to interpret this for people, because all you hear is doomsday scenarios. And I think we're doing pretty good. I mean, it's not great. We obviously have a significant surge going on. We're up to nearly 100,000 cases per day. But the death rate has barely budged, if not gone maybe down a little bit. And the hospitalization rate's going up, but nowhere near the levels we were when we had half as many cases in a surge. So it's so far doing pretty good. We'll see if it stays this way.
And the hospitalization rates are going up, you were saying also earlier, because they're admitting more people into the hospital where they were scared to bring them in the past, right?
Yeah. So a lot of my peers are saying that, you know, there's been a change in physician behavior, because early in the epidemic, when we had literally a third as many cases nationwide, we were discouraging people from coming in the hospital because we were afraid of exposing other people, and we had nothing really to do for them. And yet at that time, we were topping out at around 60,000 cases per day. And right, that was with a total of 30,000 cases per day nationwide. Now we're close to 100,000 cases nationwide, and only at about 46,000 hospitalized. So we're just managed, and that's with the change in behavior of doctors encouraging people in, because there's stuff for us to do now. We're like, hey, you're getting sick? Come on in. We got something to offer you. Let's get some Regeneron or some convalescent plasma, that sort of thing.
Is the virus less virulent now, or we just got better at treating it?
I think it's a combination. It probably has changed in ways that we haven't really been able to measure yet. It's infecting more young people now, or at least less vulnerable people, and we are getting better at treating it. I think all of the above.
You hear about all these big spikes around Europe and what's going on. I do like your explanation of what a European lockdown feels like, but I don't hear anything about death rates in these European countries. Obviously, they figured out a better way to treat it as well.
Let me look it up. Let's look up Brussels, for instance. Let me see if I can find it. Britain's been in a big surge right now, they say.
So Drew would say that the European version of the lockdown meant you could still go to school. Their lockdown version is schools are open and restaurants are open, right?
No. Their version is schools are open. You can go to work. You can ride public transportation. You just can't go to bars and restaurants when you get out of work. It's sort of more of a curfew than a lockdown.
Right.
We call that opening up in California.
Right. That would be called opening up.
Yeah.
So I don't hear anything about deaths and hospital rates. I just hear spikes in Europe. That's all I hear.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's not bad news, because if it was bad news, CNN would be telling us it's bad news.
That's true. I'm looking for the I'm looking for some resources where we can get some international data. So give me a minute while we're talking here, because everything I use is sort of U.S. based.
Right.
But, there are some good COVID data. Let me see if I can find it.
Well,
what does my emoji do when I go into a high voice?
I don't know. Well, I'll look at it. So if you're just tuning in, we're live coast to coast on the stereo app. If you guys got a question, we'll get to those at some point. So, Drew,
yep.
is,
there it is.
after the election, I mean, the supervisor here, or infectious disease, whatever she is, Barbara Ferrer here, said we can open the schools after the election.
Once we get done with the election.
She said, yeah, when it's done, when we're done with the election.
Jesus. Okay, wait, I found Belgium now. Belgium death rates are quite flat, but they are projected to go up, but that doesn't mean anything. There are flat. Daily deaths are flat. Let me see. Yeah, pretty good. And we'll see, though. You know, the surges always have a delay in all the more serious stuff after about 2 weeks.
Right. But I think there's two things at play. I think we figured out, and Europe has figured out. Can you hear me? Sorry.
I think we
in Europe have figured out that you have to protect old people. That's where the deaths are going to come from. Every time I turn on ESPN, I hear about some college football player who's got it. He quarantines. He wants to start the next week. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, everybody in the NFL, all these guys, you know, professional sports, whatever, MLB, baseball players. Oh, they got it. This guy from the Marlins, he got it. He got it. Yep. Yeah, and then what? He's playing, right? Like, he's right. Not only is the quarterback from, oh God, it's not Syracuse, it's the Clemson, right? The Clemson, yeah, Clemson quarterback. That guy gets it. That guy wants to play the following weekend. I mean, not only do they get it, they're playing high level college football. That's physically taxing to play quarterback for four quarters. And at Clemson, so I ain't seeing what I'm seeing is protect the old people, protect the vulnerable people, let the young people pass it around, and thus you don't get the hospitalizations at the same rate, but you certainly don't get the deaths.
Right, that seems to be true. But I think the conundrum, though, is this infectivity thing and how to keep it from spiraling out of control and getting into the old people's zone no matter what. I'm looking at California, by the way. California, we were guaranteed a 90% increase in our hospitalization by last Sunday. Instead, we've had a 10% decline. And the death rate in California is just steadily going down. It really, our numbers in California look good. The interesting state to look at is Florida, which opened up completely. And let's look at Florida right now, see what they're doing. I think they were having a little surge. Yes, a little bit, but nothing, nowhere near where they were, you know, in July. Mm-hmm. And death rate continues on a steady downward. Their death rate and their hospitalization rate looks like California.
Right.
They look almost, their stuff almost looks exactly like California, except we're closed and they're open. That's the only difference.
The more I'm starting to hear stories about lockdowns not really working. I was listening to Alex Berenson talk about it on Tucker Carlson the other night. This notion that you got to lock it down. I don't know. It feels, by the way, that feels to me that lock it down. It feels very archaic. You know, I mean, it feels like a knee jerk. It feels like a reaction.
Well, yeah. That's right. It feels like primitive. This is how primitive man would deal with this, right? And it's, in fact, how they did deal with it during one of the Black Plague epidemics in Venice. And guess what? It made things a lot worse. And other than that one episode, it had never been contemplated ever again in medical history. And so this idea of quarantining healthy people is a brand new idea. And it was invented. I told you this story a while ago. It's invented by a 15-year-old high school student in New Mexico who built a model about influenza, which is transmitted very differently and is also transmitted by children and kills children. But her model showed that influenza could be reduced by shutting down schools, focal shutdowns. Her dad then built a big computer model because he was a computer guy at Los Alamos. And the Bush administration picked that up as a pandemic policy. No one had ever contemplated doing that before.
Right. So the fucking knee jerk, lock it down. And then all the warlocks and witches are trying to do the, well, we're doing better in California because we locked it down. But then they're having a spike in Europe. Why? Because they locked it down too?
Right. What's your... Right. That's the whole point. Well, and it's kind of interesting. There's all kinds of crazy logic now where friends of mine that are sort of anti-mask or anti-lockdown are sort of saying that, look, what is our goal? We need to define goals. This is not my opinion, but this is people I talk to. And if your goal is flattening the curve and preventing the hospital system from being overwhelmed, we're doing that quite effectively, but we're not going to stop this virus. That should not be our goal because it's not possible. We need to mitigate the consequences and make sure the healthcare system doesn't get overwhelmed. But we seem to have shifted into this mode where we're trying to stop it altogether. One death is too many. It's like we're going to stop it altogether, which is kind of a fool's errand. I do think, you know, there's good evidence that mask works. There's good evidence that social distancing works. We can do these things simply. But the lock it down part, the World Health Organization has come out very strongly against it, saying the only thing it accomplishes is it makes poor people poorer.
Right. Of course, the CDC came out today or yesterday and said it's okay to vote if you're infected.
I know you love that.
I do, because I don't have to listen to the CDC anymore. It's like when Fauci said, when Fauci, and I know everyone thinks I'm an asshole. When Fauci said,
well, not everyone.
When Fauci said gatherings are bad, no churches, no ball games, no theaters, and then he was asked, well, what about Black Lives Matter protests? And he's like, well, I don't know. I got no problem with that, or that's different. I was like, okay, don't have to listen to you. Now I don't have to listen to you. That's what I know.
And so let me be a little bit of a voice of reason. When people congregate in large numbers, no matter what their motivation or why they're gathering, this thing spreads. It just does. That's
I get it. Fauci should have just said, any gathering. That's how it works.
Yeah. But he should have then said, but we, you know, I feel if you feel it's so important to put yourself at risk that you need to go out and demonstrate, you should do
all
so.
All right. But let me just tell you something from a fear factor. If I'm watching CNN, and CNN is explaining to me it's doom and gloom. It's doom and gloom. But if you want to go vote or you want to go to a Black Lives Matter rally, I guess you got to do what you got to do. Guess what doesn't scream doom and gloom to me?
Doing what you got to do.
Yeah. It's like, what if you're a fucking doctor? Well, you are a fucking doctor. You're a doctor, Drew. What if you said... What if your doctor was like, Dawson, you smoke. Okay. And then what if the doctor went, if it's really important, I guess you can smoke. Like, you would, what message would that be? Well, that wouldn't be right. Smoking's dangerous, would it be?
No, it would be whatever you got to do. Make your own choice.
Well, how dangerous is this thing if the CDC says if you're infected, just go vote? Be safe about
that. To me, that was a pretty incredible statement today. Pretty incredible. But it seems to me it should have been. If you're sick, hey man, you should have. You had lots of mail-in options. You should have done it sooner. Sorry. Don't go expose other people.
Right.
I like the way the directions are. Make sure you check in with one of the voting officials there. Tell them you're sick. Oh, so you expose that person? Expose the one person, and then go wait in line and see what you can do. Pretty much so.
Also, how much I was yelling at Dr. Bruce about this the other day, which is how much of this is about wiping things down and wiping down surfaces, you know?
That's sort of over.
I'm going to strangle Dr. Bruce because I was like, I was making examples. Like, what happened to everyone wearing gloves? What happened to everyone wiping everything down? What about everything needed to be wiped down? What about the bags of fast food needed to be sprayed with alcohol? What happened to all that? And Bruce's like, oh, yeah, that's still on. That's still important. That's a big deal. And I was like, no, it's not a big deal, Dr. Bruce, because no one's doing it anymore. I haven't heard anything about this being spread through countertops. Or fast food bags, have you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't go that way. It is airborne, respiratory. There is instead of the preoccupation with cleaning surfaces, what we've started to morph into is concerns about aerosols. So we have the droplets that go 6 feet, but now we have aerosols.
Well,
so aerosols get out of the side of the mask and float 20 feet through the air, which is true. People do need to be concerned about that.
I'm not done with this surface thing. I want to let people know, I'll put it out there, which guests would they like to hear on the next stereo show, and you can send me an audio message on stereo, here on stereo.
What? You mean it's not going to be me every time?
you're break glass in case of emergency. The great Pauly Shore dropped out. Drew, how much of this? All right, let's put washing your hands aside. Oh, or let's add washing your hands.
Yes.
How much of the surface? My daughter made me take my shoes off before I came back into the house.
Yes, there's still that stuff. People still have those preoccupations.
Right. How much of that is science? How much of that? Is anyone had this thing spread through carpeting?
No.
So was everybody who took their shoes off a fucking idiot?
Well, but that was sort of in the same time when we were all sheltering in place. You know what I mean?
Can you hear me?
Clarity about what was going on.
But,
yeah, I got you back.
But
it was not a lot of clarity.
Nobody's got this.
Time.
No one's got this from a flip-flop, right?
Yes. Maybe sucking on a flip-flop.
All right, what about spraying everything with alcohol? All the bags, all the boxes, quarantining the boxes that came to the house. What about that?
Not such a thing. However, I'm digging the spray down with Clorox on the aircrafts, because that should have been a practice already for other illnesses.
But
so
wiping everything down that comes into the house and spraying it with alcohol and taking your shoes off, colossal waste of fucking time.
Turned out that's so.
Oh,
in my opinion.
Huh. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't spend 8 seconds doing any of that shit. All right. What about wiping down the counters in the kitchen and the bathroom? What about wiping everything down?
All good ideas, but not for COVID. But it runs contrary to your sewer rat mentality, exposure mentality, which I think is worthy of sort of revisiting here, which is that humans develop resiliency and strength through exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Both their neurological system, their musculoskeletal system, and their immunological system. We have to expose ourselves on a regular basis to challenging ideas, to difficult emotions, to lifting weights, and to certain pathogens on a certain, to a certain degree, to be able to build our immune system up and the rest of our system as well. We've gotten into a time when we're just strictly avoidant. We want to hide in a safe place, shelter in place. And that's not a good strategy. That's not a good strategy.
What about all the people I saw wearing rubber gloves in the supermarkets?
I don't think that was didn't know at the time.
Okay. So let me make this proclamation. When I'm announcing that most of this shit is bullshit and I'm not going to do it and everyone thinks I'm insane, fuck off. I wouldn't keep doing it if I wasn't fucking right. Taking your fucking shoes off before you come home because you've got COVID on your shoes. I knew that was fucking out the window. I knew spraying down all this stupid, how many gallons millions of gallons of rubbing alcohol were sprayed on In-N-Out burger bags so they could come into the house? What about the people that quarantine their boxes, set the box sit on the porch for a week? What about the people? Yep. It's all weakness. Everyone's fucking weak. They don't realize it's their fucking brain. And then they go, But CNN said, of course, that's what CNN said. They're trying to scare you and you're weak. So you're biting on it. Ugh.
Yeah.
it's living in an insane asylum. Right. So what did
that? Well, not everybody has a crystal brain.
What was so really the lockdowns, not so much. The surfaces are kind of out the window. I don't know anyone got it from us. I never heard anything about a surface. Yeah. But masks.
Masks work, and there's some increasingly good evidence of that.
Right, except for no one wears them properly or has the right mask. He just sneezed in the middle of my hot mask talk, Drew.
Well, I want to know what did my emoji do?
Oh, there's some snot on the phone.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. But yeah, yes, masks work, but people have to wear them over their nose at all times because the nose is the primary propeller from which it propels and to which it gets in. So please, this over your mouth stuff is not doing it. Got to wear it over the nose.
Right. And I don't know. We figure the gaiters don't work, right? Those aren't.
Gaiters aren't so good. But again, there was some study came out just recently showed that you can reduce respiratory virus transmission by 80% by wearing a mask. Shocking, shocking, shocking. And then if you add a little distancing to that and some good ventilation and maybe some sort of room, cleansing. What's the word I'm looking for? We have an air purifier.
Scrubbing.
Scrub
the air. So do we need a vaccine?
Yes.
And
you're asking, I think you're embedded in that as a tough question, which is should everybody take the vaccine, right? Isn't that the question?
Okay.
Right. So I think personally, my opinion is yes. I can't get it fast enough, and I think everyone should take it. However, I am completely sympathetic to people who say, you know what, I'm 30, I'm an athlete, this thing's not going to bother me. Why don't I wait to see how the vaccine does on a large scale before I go expose myself to this thing? Because the risks of the virus are so low, and I don't fully know the risk of the vaccine yet, hard for me to make a decision. I'm sympathetic to that. I would prefer everyone get it, but I'm sympathetic to people waiting.
What's the timeline look like for the vaccine?
They're looking, it's sort of any week now. Definitely by 2021. Definitely the three, the Pfizer, the AstraZeneca, and the Moderna, for sure by the end of the year, it seems to me. I've got a lot of good inside reconnaissance that I'm keep track of. And some of them are looking really good, really good.
And what do? They go for the old people, vulnerable. They get the vulnerable first. School teachers.
Yeah, you get the healthcare workers and the vulnerable. I think probably I would bet nursing home and the healthcare workers. That'd be my first. That'd be the first round.
What percentage? And by the way, we're coming to you live on stereo. What percentage? How effective do you think it'll be? Or what is an effective? What's an effective vaccine? What
yeah,
percentage?
It's a really good. I'm not an expert in this, so I can't give you the full theory behind it. But I know many years, 50% is what they get out of the flu vaccine. 70% is kind of what you're looking for. So if you're getting over 70%, I think you're doing pretty darn good. I've got a company I'm working with. We're going to be able to eventually measure the immune response for real above and beyond antibodies. So the T cell, the memory B cell, and the antibody response. So in the new year, we'll have that technology too from a group called Additix.
Is there something different about this vaccine than the flu vaccine besides how it's comprised?
Yeah. It's an RNA vaccine. The flu vaccine is essentially just protein particles. This is actually going to go into your genetics and have your it's going to mimic exactly what the virus does.
Mm-hmm.
The virus goes into your system and it replicates itself, and so this is going to do the same thing but replicate in ways that are not infectious.
So what would this vaccine be akin to in other vaccines compared
to? A brand new, there isn't anything like
no
Ebola.
I don't mean anything. I mean, is it going to work like polio or smallpox or
Of eradicating, in terms of how effective it's going to be?
Well, you just told me there's a difference between this vaccine and the flu shot.
And every other vaccine.
And every other vaccine.
Yeah, we've never deployed this technology in the United States.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's a new... There are some old-fashioned vaccines being developed, and some experts believe that's the ones we should lean on. But in the meantime, these RNA vaccines are being developed more quickly. There have been international deployments for things like Ebola of similar vaccines, but never in the United States.
So it's new technology.
Correct.
And
this company Moderna you hear about,
mm-hmm.
this is their thing is this technology.
When do we start talking about China versus Trump in terms of COVID?
What do you mean? You mean like China responsible?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a few pretty credible sources say this thing got out of a lab, not out of a bat at a wet market.
I've heard similar arguments that are fairly compelling, but it's not like they, you know, dropped a viral bomb on, you know, in Phoenix. It got away from them, if that's what happened, and infected them as badly as everybody else, right?
Right. But if they were whipping it up in a lab and their standards in the lab were so subpar that it got out of the lab, you know, if Mark Geragos was representing the world versus Wuhan, he'd have a pretty good case on his hands, wouldn't you say?
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. Hey, I have a question. I see a lot of people sending us voice messages. Is there any way we can listen to those on the stereo app here?
Yeah, I think we can.
That'd be very interesting to me. There's a whole, like, 30 messages, according to my...
Chris is saying something. I don't know what he's saying. This...
He's just waving his hands.
Stereo. Okay. I have to keep pointing at it. I'm looking at it.
Have I said something wrong?
I'm just yelling at Chris. No, Chris has a piece of paper, and he, like, keeps pointing at it, and I'm looking at it, but then he points at it. I don't know what he wants me to do with it, but I get it. But I'm trying to hear a voice. I'm connecting it to the voicemail thing. That's what I'm doing. So Chris is monkeying around with the voicemail. And if you're just tuning in, we are live coast to coast on stereo. Now, can we play one of these things?
Poop dildo! Oh. Never forget! Also testing, because you were silent for the first couple minutes there.
Oh, okay. Well, right. We can do it.
We got poop dildo. All right.
Ace, is today the day you join Dr. Drew's Rational Revolution?
Oh, well, there's
so
a good one.
I love that. So, yeah, so Christina P. and I have coined the Rational Revolution because she's a philosopher and an Eastern European and comes from horrible histories and politics and is really tired of the current level of discourse in this country. And she and I want to form a rational revolution, much like the pragmatism party you and I talked about today on the Adam and Drew podcast.
Mm.
It's much like that. But it's going to be called the Rational Revolution. And all the iconography is going to be just like, you know, sort of Lenin, Stalin era stuff. You know, I'll send you some of it.
What's iconography?
Images, you know, the posters and stuff, right?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it. Like style.
Yeah.
Style.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, with us in profile looking off in the distance wearing a captain's hat.
I've seen some of that. Is there any room for rational people anymore? I mean,
well, you're joining. You joined the rational recovery.
I understand. I told people they didn't have to wipe their shoes down with Clorox, and I got yelled at.
Well, that's the point. The problem is you've gone well beyond the rational recovery. You have a crystal brain, and that's a burden, my friend. That's a burden. That's a curse. It's a curse.
Yes.
In today's world.
Yes. You need no degree to have a crystal brain. But
right. And so you're a suspect at all times.
God, it's so nice to be around rational people, man. It is so fucking nice.
I know.
What, Drew? What goes on with even smart people's mechanics in thinking? Do you know what I mean? Or are they they just thrown it out the window? Like, I saw Joe Biden the other day. He's like, Trump's saying we should inject Clorox into our veins. It's like, okay, I guess he's just lying. But why is it so easy
to lie?
Or just to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know what Trump said. Here's what I'm saying. Why aren't you embarrassed? Embarrassed?
I think it is back to this thing again. You and I were talking about earlier today is about how we've become soft and we're sort of expecting everything to be given to us. And so we're sort of passive and we receive everything just matter of factly. We don't critically think about stuff.
Why isn't it embarrassing when I turn on CNN and there's some sister there and she's like, as a woman of color, as a woman of color, as a woman of color, I'm like, why aren't you embarrassed to keep saying that? Does it seem weird to take your identity and just wrap it up in your skin, your ovaries, in the color of your skin? Like, what? Why isn't that weird for people? Like, I'm Italian. I may bring up my Italian heritage once every 3 years. If I just worked it into every conversation, I would be embarrassed. Like, oh, you want to talk gondolas? Oh, yeah, sure. I can talk gondolas. Hey, you know the big ragu from Laverne and Shirley? Paisan? Paisan? Yo, yeah, did you know that Stan Musial, you know Musial's an Italian name? Did you know that?
Wow. Like, let's talk Neapolitan pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where we put the... We put the leaves on there, the bay leaves or whatever. How obnoxious would that be? Max Pat is over here. He's Filipino. He doesn't work it into every conversation because he'd be an asshole. He'd be an asshole if he did.
That's true. That's true.
Or your sexuality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a heterosexual with the Italian descent. Why is this so commonplace and why do people put up with it? Who gives a shit what color you are, or if you're a woman, or if you're gay, or whatever the fuck you are? Who gives a shit? Why do you think people give a shit? What is this society, Drew?
Well, we become our tribe, right? We've become very much. I wonder if it comes from all the branding.
And yeah, this is
we all wear.
This is politics. I mean, I'm sorry. We look at this as progressive. Like we look at this as, oh, good. We're entering a new phase in our society where everyone can label themselves by their race and their gender.
But think about it, we wear our NFL team, we wear our college stuff. We've just gotten so used to labeling ourselves.
I don't like those people either. I don't like the fucking UCLA guy. Sorry. Apologize to your wife.
You don't like anybody, to be fair.
I don't like anybody. Look, go fucking do something. Don't tell me about your heritage. Lead the Pac-10 in rushing. Don't tell me you spent $89 on a bomber jacket for USC. That means nothing to me. What is that? Why is that satisfying? Why is it satiating?
It must go back to the esteem movement, right? It goes back to Little Miss Sunshine. Little Miss Sunshine. That
yes.
Did it.
It's and the politicians labeling everyone and then breaking them apart into groups is one of the most dangerous things any politician could do.
Yes, the slicing and dicing is awful. We need... I'm hoping that like every trend, we move back towards unity from this. It would be nice, you know?
Well, how can you move back toward unity when you have tribes now? You have groups.
We got to unity from tribes in the first place. Maybe we can do that again.
You know, it all kind of started with the hyphenated shit, the Hispanic American and African American. Well, think about it. Think about that.
Stuff.
Well, think about it.
Listening. I'm thinking.
Well,
hyphenated.
African American. Like, did that help anything?
Oop. My app is making noises at me.
Did African American help anything?
No, I don't think that helped anything.
Did Hispanic American help anything? Or Korean American? Like, what was the cause of that?
Well, I think the idea was people could have very varied ethnic descent and genetic descent and be American.
Yeah. But how's it working out? And what the fuck? And gay American or lesbian American? Like, it's just, it's just sad. It's weird what happened to everybody. Everyone's their fucking titles. Like, anyone gives a shit.
Rational recovery, my friend. Rational recovery. That's what we need. We need recovery of rationality.
It'd be nice, but I wonder if people's – I hear people spewing out so much nonsense that I don't even know if they're salvageable anymore.
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yeah. We're coming to you live on stereo. Do you have one more question over there, Max Pata?
I'm sorry. I'm just not worried about it when I look at the actual totals of deaths that are happening. I don't understand why. Who cares if everybody in the world gets it? We should be looking at the amount of deaths, and the amount of deaths are not justifying what's going on.
Yeah,
it's sort of what we were saying at the beginning. We were looking at some of that data and sort of agreeing with them, at least so far. Again, one of the strange, nefarious things about this virus is it goes where it goes. You know, we never really know where it's going, and it does what it does.
Right.
So, all right, my friend, I have to wrap this thing up here. It's been a pleasure to be on stereo. It's pretty cool watching your emoji talk back to me. It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. Yeah. And it's expressionless, but it's strangely
satisfying.
Accurate. Mm-hmm. No, accurate.
Accurate.
I'm guessing. Yeah. I mean, it looks like you talking, and I just didn't ever realize you sort of are expressionless when you talk. But now that's being driven home.
Yeah, well, it's all the Botox. All right, let me give you a plug. See you, Drew. DrDrew.com is where you go, and you can go there for all the live stream podcasts and all that. And the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, Dr. Drew Podcast, After Dark.
Stream. I'm going to do a stream at 5 o'clock today.
As well.
Links at DrDrew.tv.
And I want to thank Stereo for making this possible. And I'm going to be doing my plugs. Let's see. I got shows coming up, West Palm Beach Improv, the 20th and the 21st, Friday, Saturday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. We're doing a live Reasonable Doubt there. And you can go to AdamCarolla.com to get all the info you want. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla. For Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get all the links at AdamCarolla.com.